For independent restaurant owners caught in the relentless cycle of their business, feeling shackled and overwhelmed is not uncommon. Today's restaurant industry presents unprecedented challenges, with a sobering statistic that 60% of independent restaurants only make 5% profit. And on top of that, battles with burnout, stress, and broken families are the harsh realities for many in this line of work. Yet, it doesn't have to remain this way. Enter Donald Burns, the restaurant coach, who brings a beacon of hope with his complimentary TRC Method Masterclass. This class is designed to guide restaurant owners through a transformative journey, offering a proven three-step process that has helped over 2,800 restaurant owners move from the brink of burnout to a place where they control their business, and not the other way around. To embark on this path to freedom, visit restaurantcoachmasterclass.com and reserve your free seat today.
Loading in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It's the cure for the common restaurant. Expert interviews, tools, and tips to get you the restaurant you know it can be. Now, here is your host, Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach.
And welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. You know, in today's fast-paced world where the landscape of the restaurant industry changes with the rising and setting of the sun, it's critical to have a guide, a mentor, a coach. Why, might you ask? Because a coach is like a compass that always points to true north, keeping you steadfast on your path to massive success. Because without this guidance, it is so easy to get lost in the wilderness of this industry, veering off course, influenced by fleeting trends or shiny new theories that promise you the world, but deliver very little. And in my journey, I've been both disheartened and also disgusted with the rise of what I can only call our fake restaurant coaches. These individuals flood the market with broken business theories like profit first and the idea that marketing can fix everything. I'm telling you, this isn't just wrong, it's dangerous. Why? Because it preys on hope and desperation. And it's offering quick fixes to what really are deep-rooted problems. These are not solutions, they are band-aids on bullet wounds. And seeing this trend, I just couldn't stand by any longer. So what I decided to do is to take some action and to do something tangible and impactful. So I started my own certification program, which is going to become a beacon in the murky waters of restaurant coaching. This program isn't just another course. It was and is a rigorous, in-depth training that teaches my TRC method. This method, I'm telling you, is not a mere collection of ideas. It is a battle-tested system that has been the backbone to over 2,800 independent restaurants for 14 years. I mean, this system works. The system transforms restaurants, and it leads to true success. So my mission was always clear, to arm independent restaurant owners not just with hope, but with a concrete plan, the strategies that have been proven time and time again in country after country. The TRC method is not about quick fixes. It is sustainable growth. It is about understanding the core of your restaurant's identity and building from there. Basically, work on that platform of people, product, and process. And so today, I am joined by one of my certified restaurant coaches, Angela Hepler. Angela's journey through the restaurant industry is, I mean, it is wild, rich, and very varied. From owning restaurants, investing in restaurants, from her time as a chef and now a caterer, Angela brings a wealth of experience and a deep understanding and compassion for the industry. She embodies what I like to say is the very essence of what it means to be a certified restaurant coach. Expertise, passion, and a commitment to excellence. And together, we're going to dive into today on how mindful mastery, which is a core component of our coaching, can really revolutionize your approach to both your restaurant and your life. Remember, it isn't just about making better business decisions. It's about creating a life that is balanced, fulfilling, and sustainable. So let's jump into the episode and explore how, with the right guidance, the right methods, and the right mindset, you can set your path to true restaurant success. And welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. I am honored and very, very thrilled to have a discussion today with one of my new certified restaurant coaches, Angela Hepler is here from, are you in Michigan today?
I am. I'm in Michigan today. Yeah.
I mean, how is the weather there?
Gloomy.
Gloomy. Welcome to Michigan, right?
Yeah, tomorrow might be 80 and sunny, but today it's gloomy.
Never know. You never know. Michigan's always a crapshoot. You never know what it's going to be like. Yeah. So Angela Jewish is in my certified restaurant coaching program. She's going to be helping me. One of the things that I really wanted to do for this new year was I wanted to start expanding my ability to help more people. And I was very, 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 very particular and very, very selective about who I brought into the fold about becoming a certified restaurant coach. One of my requirements was they had to have been a restaurant owner. I think, you know, and you and I can both agree, Angela, there's a lot of these like restaurant coaches out there that never, ever really owned a restaurant. And one of the things I want to do is I want to perpetuate this. If we're going to like talk about coaching restaurant owners, then I need people that have been restaurant owners that understand the struggles, the anxiety, the dynamics, and the pressure of actually running restaurants. So real quick, kind of tell people a little bit about your background. I mean, you have an extensive background in the Chicago area. So talk really briefly about that.
Okay. So I'm going to start with the fact that I was raised by a single mom, because I think it had a lot of, and without a father, it had a lot of effect on me in terms of, you know, my belief systems. Because I was raised by a single mom who was also voted most likely to succeed and was really powerful in the real estate world, living up to her standards was always very hard. So a lot of my work ethic came from her. And then not having a father, I also was constantly trying to prove myself around people that I was worthy. So that is sort of like the driving force behind who I am, and also why I think I got into the restaurant business. I was sort of a black sheep in my family, which I think a lot of people are in the restaurant business.
It's me.
That's
why we connected. I'm a black sheep too. Yeah,
exactly. So I started working in the restaurants when I was 15. My mom owned a few shops in a mall. So back then, I'm now almost 55. Back then, going to the mall was a cool thing to do. So I worked in the mall when I was 15, earning my own income, because if I wanted the same things my friends wanted, that meant that I had to work, whether it was DoorDash jeans or whatever it was I was trying to impress people with. So I started working when I was 15, and it really never ended. I went from Caesars, Little Caesars, because that was new then, Domino's Pizza. I then, when I went to Michigan State University, I was cocktailing when I was 17, illegally. It just kept going and going. I moved to Chicago to go to Loyola to study philosophy and theology. And I worked at a cafe as a server. I've always hated serving, by the way. I've always been, my strength has always been in hosting and managing. So I immediately moved to hosting and then turned into an assistant manager of an Italian restaurant. Then I was hired out of a restaurant by a marketing company to start marketing for restaurants because I understood the language. Mm-hmm. They sent me out to Los Angeles. I started working in Los Angeles in the restaurant industry, selling marketing to different restaurant owners. I started working for a restaurant owner out there. His name is Lee Main. He was opening up Sushi Roku, and he hired me because he liked my work ethic. He's basically come help me. So I came, helped him, took a course at UCLA called Business Development for Entrepreneurs, wrote my first business plan called Sushi Wabi, moved back to Chicago, opened up Sushi Wabi, met my business partner, Susan, who was my business partner for 25 years.
Wow.
And fantastic, right? Yeah. And we opened up Sushi Wabi together. We went on to open up DeSero, Hello Tacos, a few blocks down 5 years later. We both split up and opened up our own ventures. Mm-hmm. I opened up Verisway, Backdoor Saloon, Grange Hall, a whole bunch of restaurants on Randolph Street, one after the other. Susan went on to open a few restaurants over on Division Street. We came back together, opened up another sushi restaurant together. And every time we worked together, we were successful. Like, it's literally like the perfect partnership, because we both did opposite things.
Yeah, yeah.
From opposite ends. Anyway, so I opened many restaurants, one after one after one after the other. I think that's part of this whole thing with, this is why I bring this back to my mom, where it was like, just keep building. How much do you have? do you matter? Are you successful enough? And I just kept building until the point where I grew a skull tumor, literally from the amount of stress I was under.
Literally, yeah, you literally did.
Like a big, gigantic lump in the top of my head. And that was a wake-up call for me that it kind of brings me back to the thing I learned in with you is that when we get to the top, when we get to like great, we tend to get bored or we backslide. For me, it was a lot of boredom, constantly trying to add to my, I have this drive to create and to have more. And it just was too much. It was just too much. So that was in 2017. I had the surgery. When I came out of the surgery, I was literally like to my husband, I'm like, I'm not signing this lease. I just started like, because honestly, I felt lucky to be alive at that moment. And I was like, that was my one chance. So I just really decided it was time to make a change, and I did. And it was the best decision I've ever made. It was hard on my ego. It was like I was breaking up with myself in a way. Mm-hmm. But I'm here to say it was the best choice. It was just to scale down and to like figure out what was working and what wasn't. And then then COVID hit, and that took another toll on all my restaurants. And then sold my shares to my business partner who was still in Chicago because I had moved to Michigan. Because of the urgency of COVID, and I'd moved my family to Michigan because we have a farm here. And then Susan wanted to, she was still all in. She was like, this is perfect timing. It was great for both of us because she got what she wanted. I got what I wanted. It was a perfect ending. I closed down the ones that just could not. I just was like, I'm just not going to do this. I'm not going to drive back and forth to Chicago and do this. Close those.
That's a good drive.
Yeah. It's 100 miles. And, yeah. So then in 2017, I started working closely with life coaches, all different one after the other, reading a lot of books, trying to really figure myself out. And it's where I'm at now. So I actually had a passion to be a life coach, and I started a company called Soul Lux, and it didn't really come off. It didn't take off because I was so involved with catering still. Like it just was too much for me all at once. But I really, really think my success was because I love to support other people and build other people around me. I just think it, I'm very empathetic. I'm big hearted. And I actually, my restaurant company, which was actually the group of people that I managed, was called the Happy Point Restaurant Group. And the reason why I call it the Happy Point Restaurant Group is because the goal was to create that Maslow pyramid of getting to the point of self-actualization. So anyways, enough about that, but that's where I am now. And I'm super excited to be with you, Donald, because not only do you marry life coaching, you marry life coaching with the restaurant business. Yeah. And it's literally like, that's what I live through. You know,
it's kind of funny that you mentioned life coaching. So in 2000, I was consulting up until 2008 when the economy crashed, we had the big recession in 2008. And then I hired a business coach to help me kind of rebrand. Cause I was kind of like, well, shit, this coach consulting stuff's like, man, if the economy goes upside down, my consulting business dries up. So I need to figure out something else. So I hired a business coach and he took me through that coaching process. And at first, I thought about doing like life coaching, like executive coaching for entrepreneurs and restaurant owners. And then he just kind of said, like, well, why don't you do restaurant coaching? I'm like, oh, my God. So like 2009, I Googled restaurant coach. Nobody was calling themselves a restaurant coach. In 2009, now everyone who has a book out is now a restaurant coach,
right?
So that was one of the reasons too. I took this initiative to make sure. I mean, if people are going to call themselves restaurant coaches, I want to make sure they were certified restaurant coaches. And you've seen the TRC method. I mean, is a beautiful program. I mean, it's 14 years of work,
it's
redefined, worked over. Definitely a. I mean, what do we always say? If you want to win the game. Follow the frames.
Yeah. It really is like that. You really can't skip around. And I think that's what makes this program different than any of these other things that people are selling is that they're like band-aids or quick fixes, but they're not actually starting at the beginning and following it all the way through so you can have results, you know?
Yeah. And we talk about it all the time in our coaching calls with other certified restaurant coaches. We talk about like, you know, one of the struggles you'll see as a restaurant coach is that people will see the low-hanging fruit or the things they think they need. Oh, I just need marketing. Oh, I just need some checklist. I need profits. I need profits. I mean, we understand that. Totally do. but the framework works. Yeah, there's no shortcuts. There's no shortcuts to success. It's the 3P framework is the basis for the TRC method. It is people, product, process in that order.
Yep.
And I tell people all the time, every call I ever do, I say, you will try to change the combination around. You will try to do people, you'll try to do process, and then you try to do product, or you do product, and you do process, and you prep people. And I'll tell you, you'll try a dozen different ways. Because when I first started coaching, I tried it a couple different ways. I coached it a couple different ways, and then I realized I wasn't getting the results I wanted with my members. So I actually dialed it in, and then I realized it is people, product, process in that order.
Yeah. Right?
And it always only works when you do it that way. So let's talk about leadership. Because leadership is something that a lot of restaurants today are missing. And that's one of the things that we talk about a lot in the TRC method. Leadership is really critical. What do you think is the number one trait a leader needs today?
Well, I wish I could just, it could just be one, but I will start with accountability, and then I'll move to be authentic. So accountability in that. I mean, this is just something that you have to have your own personal core values, and then you have to live by them.
Yeah.
And then you have to be accountable to yourself and the people around you. You know, you have to know what they are, then you have to be accountable for living that way. So, you know, you can say, for example, humility. You want to have humility as one of your core values, but you're not very humble. You know, you're exactly. the first to judge. So I think that it's accountability to your own core values. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Yeah. That's one of the things that, and I have like you know me, I love an acronyms. I have one that's like OYS, and OYS means own your shit. You got to own your shit. You got to own your shit.
You know? Yourself and check yourself, you know? Yeah. I find I literally have to check myself all the time.
Yeah. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you had a big health scare and stuff like that, and you realized that, you know, you got to take care of yourself. One of the things that we preach about in the TRC method is about self-care. So what do you do to take care of yourself now?
Yeah. So, so that 2017 thing was, like I said, was a big wake up call, the tumor, and basically getting a second chance. The first thing I did was life coaching. And then through life coaching, I worked with a woman, Sherry Nichols, who, I mean, really just developed my relationship back with God, like really being connected to God, myself, my fears, my heart, you know, just really my limiting beliefs, just like my connection with, I think it's just my connection with God, you know, and I do a lot of light. I do a light meditation. I don't know if you know what that is. It may not be firm, but it's me connecting with God and light and like pushing it through my body and just it. Literally, I feel like $1 million after I do it. It's incredible. And I also do a lot of sound baths. So
those are cool. I've heard of those. Yeah.
I love them. Yeah. I do that because I'm a big believer in naps every day. So I take a 10 or 20 minute nap in the afternoon to reset my brain and my energy. And I use, it's a podcast called Spirited Soul. And they're just like 10 or 15 minutes. And it's just sound waves going through and relaxing you. And it teaches you to just focus on the sound and not want your mind wander, you know? And I love that. And then for my body, like I used to starve myself. I have this addiction.
We've all done that before.
I'd overeat or I'd starve myself. I didn't have a healthy relationship with food. And
you'd be shocked how many restaurant owners don't have a healthy relationship with food.
Makes sense. And then we're feeding people our addiction, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was very simple for me to, it was like one thing clicked for me was that fill your body with nutrients. Mm. Like think about nutrients. Like what are you going to put in your body that's going to be healthy for you? And so now I don't worry about how much I'm eating. I worry about what kind of nutrients.
What I'm thinking in. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Feed your body so that it can operate and it'll be optimum. And it changed my life, you know, like completely changed my life.
It's a game changer. Yeah. It's one of the things like in my new book, you know, Savage Restaurant Success, talk about, you know, the core four, and that's, you know, body, being, balance, and business. And in body, we talk about fitness and fuel. And fuel is so important. The fuel we put in our bodies really, really makes or breaks our energy level. It actually impacts our different hormones in our bodies, and it impacts our mood. I mean, I find that if I'm not tracking my macros on a daily basis, I can easily get off track pretty fast. Yep. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in terms of like physical exercise, I have three daughters. My middle daughter really wanted to do some martial arts. So I introduced her to a place here in Benton Harbor for martial arts, and they have a functional fitness side program, which is basically working on strength training and agility. And I've been doing that for a while. And I just basically for the last 7 years, I have been working really hard at taking care of my body. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing I think is fascinating about the body is it's a miracle. Like mm-hmm. you think you cut yourself, it just literally heals itself, right? Like yeah. we're breathing by doing nothing. It's like breathing on its own. And that miracle needs to be taken care of. You know, it's like, yeah. it's just fascinating to me how incredible our bodies are. And so I really work hard at just taking care of it. It's a mm-hmm. machine that needs to be taken care of.
I know it's like a lot of times on your social media, like you're always going for hikes. You're always doing like some good walks. You're out yeah. there with dogs. You're having some, yeah.
Yeah, that's really important to me too. Nature.
That's huge. Outdoor, I think outdoor activity yeah. is huge. We, especially in the restaurant business, we spend so much time inside mm-hmm. and we think just because we're on our feet all day that we're getting some exercise. You're on your feet all day. You're not getting exercise. You got to get up and move your body. Yeah.
I just made your feet hurt.
Yeah. So let's talk real quickly about the TRC method and the core principles. How do you think the TRC method differs from, you know, some of these other like restaurant coaches out there and these other, like I would say traditional coaching approaches?
Yeah. I would say, first of all, it's the framework. It's yeah. it's the people first thing. That's huge.
Yeah, people.
I don't even think they even have that part of their program. And it's the most important part. Also the accountability part with having a coach is constantly keeping them accountable.
Yep.
And I mean, we focus on maximizing your profit through like your food cost and your menu, and then also creating a successful marketing strategy. But honestly, it's the three P framework that we take you through in order that creates a success. And the other coaching are like, you know, a marketing strategy or yeah. focus on one component. Mm-hmm. It's not a holistic approach. So yep. It's like the holistic approach of this program.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And then like, you know, as you see like people implementing the TRC method into the restaurant, what do you think are going to be some immediate changes you see in their operations or team dynamics?
First thing will be a better relationship with themselves.
Definitely.
Better relationship with their team members. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to trickle down into their culture.
Yep.
And if your culture is good, then your guest experience will be good because they're going to, if you treat your team the way they need to be treated, your team's going to treat the customers the way they need to be treated. And it just starts trickling down. So, I mean, profit, the bottom line is you're going to see more profit. The result is profit, but it's the process that gets you there, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody wants the immediate gratification. Everybody wants the, you know, I mean, that's, I think that's our society in general now. It's like, we want a pill, we want a shot, you know, just instead of like, it's like people like, you know, people get on these, like these new diet drugs and these new diet injections and like, you know,
they don't want to do the hard work.
I always like make the joke. How many diets does it take to lose weight? One, the one you stick with. That's it. You know, just need one. You need one that you stick with, one that's proven and just stick with it. That's all you need. It's like, you know, you go to the gym today, you know, you start a new workout program. You go to the gym today, you come back, look in the mirror, nothing. I'll try it again tomorrow. I go back to the gym, come back and look in the mirror. Nothing. Well, shit, this doesn't work, right?
And then they give up. And then they give up.
That's exactly what most people do. It's like, but if you fundamentally believe this is the right course of action, this path has been proven, you will get the results. And that's one thing I love about the TRC method. It is a proven map.
Mm-hmm.
I always say you need two things in life to be successful. You need a map and you need a compass. And the compass always tells you if you're on track or off track. That's what a coach is. I would say if you have a map, a proven map, and you have a coach who's your compass and say, hey, you're drifting. Let's go back this way a little bit. Then you're gonna hit your target every single time. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we tend to default back to things. Yeah. We need someone to do to help us stay on track, you know.
Yeah. And as you know, as we go into these, you know, as the economies change, the world changes. Markets change. I mean, this whole movement of, you know, higher labor, you know, people asking for higher wages and stuff like that. As you see the shift in the future of the restaurant evolving, how do you see the TRC method kind of evolving to meet the needs of the industry?
That makes me think of your question and answer series that I think it's on Thursdays.
Yeah, the Q&A call we have, the Tears of Death Q&A call. Yeah.
It makes me think of that because you're listening.
Oh, yeah.
You're asking questions and you're listening. And I think that a lot of times people don't listen. They're just, you know, rambling on. And I think that to stay current, you have to listen. Yeah. And also the fact is that it's always people problems.
It's always
problems when the Bible was written. It's still people problems.
It's always people problems. Since the dawn of, since Eve said, hey, take a bite of this apple. It's all like, well, you got communication problems and people problems.
Hilarious. Yeah, it is. So
it's like you ever heard that joke about what was the original argument?
I don't think so.
The original argument was Adam and Eve, and the original argument was miscommunication. It was like, you know, and then they said,
I thought you said blah, blah, blah.
I thought you said you didn't want to fight. I said, no, take a bite.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. All business problems are people problems. All people problems are communication problems. All right. So what do you see is you tend to focus your niche, your specialty is the numbers part, you know, the profitability mm-hmm. side. What do you see as the biggest problem with restaurants about profitability?
I mean, again, I'm going to say people problems.
It's always people problems.
Biggest problem with profitability is that they're not starting at the beginning. They're not starting with themselves. They're not starting with their team. They're not starting with their culture. They're not looking at their food cost. They're not engineering.
Most people don't even know their food cost.
Yeah. They have to not engineering their menu based off of their knowledge of their food cost. That's the problem. It's the system and the path in which they're taking.
Yep.
Yeah. You can't just keep feeding the marketing and thinking the sales are going to fix it because that just makes you busier.
I call it the hole in the bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like most people have and think of your restaurant like a big bucket, and every restaurant has a bucket, and every restaurant, the goal is to fill the bucket with sales. That's to get people in your place. But then the downside is you got holes in your bucket. That's when you're bleeding out money. And you and I both know we've seen restaurants do, you know, $2-4 million in sales, but their profits are like 2-3%. So I mean, you got a lot of holes in your bucket. And then they think that if I just keep filling the bucket up with more and more sales, eventually I'll be okay. Now you gotta plug the holes, you know, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah. I was talking to someone the other day about different types of business owners. And there's a business owner that's called the hunter, who's just always out hunting for sales, but isn't like taking care of his business. You know, they actually think that that's what it means to be
that's their job. That's the job. It's like, I just need to get more sales. I need more sales.
Yeah.
Sales hides sins. It does.
There you go.
It does. Sales hides sins.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have quite a few people have been in my coaching program currently that when they come to me, they're doing $4-5 million in sales and doing 2% profit. I'm like, wow, that's you got the sales part down.
How much work it takes every day. Every month to get, I mean, it's so much work for absolutely pennies, you know,
it's so much. Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. What we'll do.
I would say there's three things a restaurant owner has to be able to do. Three skill sets. Number one, you got to be able to make money. Number two, you got to be able to keep money.
Yeah.
And number three, you got to be able to grow your money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most know number one, because that's what they're taught. They're taught how to make money. That's sales, marketing. That's all I need. They don't know how to keep money, which is, you know, understanding your balance sheet, understanding your P&L, having budgets, understanding that theoretical actual food cost gap. Mm-hmm. They don't know how to actually, you know, keep money and then growing money. How do I take the money I have and actually how do I grow it into more sustainable revenue and more different revenue streams? You know, because like you have a catering company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, catering is a great vehicle for restaurants.
It really is, because you're cooking in mass quantities. It's very simple to cook a half pan of something versus. Yeah.
And it's also, I love catering because you know what your margins are going to be. You know how many people you're serving. Whereas a restaurant, you're kind of hoping. Yeah. It's like, you know.
When I first got into this catering, I couldn't believe how easy it was. I was like, what? All the unknowns are gone. You know exactly when they're coming. You know exactly what they're having. You know exactly, all those unknowns are gone.
Yep.
You don't have a gigantic menu wondering what people are going to have. They're all eating the same thing, right?
Yeah, it's, exactly.
All those unknowns were gone. I was like, this is like, it's unbelievable.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about something that's really serious right now. And it's a common topic we hear about, you know, people call us all the time talking about labor, the labor crisis. I always say, do we really have a war for talent or are we having a war with talent?
Yeah.
What do you think is the real, what do you think is the real problem out there?
Well, I, if we're talking about, especially after COVID, I think that people left the market and decided to not come back. And it was because of the culture. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, why, if you've been away from it that long and you found another way to live and you don't have to go back to a toxic culture, why would you, you know? So there are people out there still. You have to know how to find them and attract them. Exactly. And then you need to know how to keep them. Well, onboard them, keep them, and retain them. It's an actual skill. You just don't hire and then see you later. You know, it's
hey, good luck. Hey, you know what? Here you go.
Yeah. So I think that a lot of it has to do with the hiring process and the onboarding and the retention and, you know, how you write your ad, you know, do people really want to work with you for you?
The restaurant industry has done a great job of being its own punchline. You know, we are the biggest meme. Like, you know what? Like, and I hate to say, a lot of these reality TV shows kind of perpetuate that. You know.
Yes, they do.
You know, you see these restaurant rescue shows and bar rescue, and like, you know, everyone's drinking or. There are a lot of restaurants that treat their team bad. Yeah, but there are some restaurants that treat their team well too. The thing is, and we talk about this in the TRC method when we're talking about marketing, especially about marketing culture. One of the things you want to start doing is marketing your culture, talking about what makes you unique. Why should I give a shit about your restaurant? Why would I want to work with you? You know, because looking at apples to apples, like all restaurants compare, I mean, wages in a market are pretty competitive. You know, most places have employee meals. So what makes you different? Why should I come to your place?
Yeah. Exactly. All those things are equal. What's different about your place? Yeah.
What's the brand differential?
Yeah.
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 All right. So if you came with a warning label, what would your warning label say?
I really had, you know, I would bossy with a big heart. Bossy with a big heart. And the reason why I say the big heart part is because there was a time where I took things really personal, you know, because I just put so much into everybody else besides myself that if they didn't accept it or they would leave the company, I would take that so personally, you know? And a lot of times it was just, they had outgrown it or they'd been with me for 8 years and they're ready to do something else. You know, like I just, bossy, when I get stressed out, I get really bossy. I get really like, you know, I'm very,
you know what that is that, you know, you get the pro scan.
Yeah.
That's your high dominance.
Hilarious. Surprise, surprise. Yeah. So yeah, when I.
High dominance is that take charge trait.
And the thing is now that I know that, and I don't consider that a strength, because I'm a woman, hear me roar, I'm strong. It's like, that doesn't really work. You know, a lot of women think that that's how you make it in the world. It's not really, it doesn't work actually. That's a whole other topic, but I think bossy is my weaknesses, is where I go when I'm stressed out. And I also think that big heart part is the people pleasing part of me that I need to watch. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. The pro scan, and you and I have to have a call one time and go over your pro scan, and I'll talk about your pro scan a little bit more. But yeah, that high dominance is that take charge factor. That's like, I'm gonna make shit happen.
Right out of the way, and I'll take charge. Trust me.
Yeah. I have a sign in my office over here, and it's purely high. It's right down there in my office. You can't even see it because it's blurred out. Uh-huh. But it's a pure high dominance statement, and it says this. It says, you're either on my side, by my side, or you're in my fucking way. Choose wisely. Yeah, exactly. That's a high dominance statement right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't care which one you pick. Pick.
You're just on pick. My side. I just need to know. I just need to know where you sit. Yep.
I just want to know where you're at. That's all. Yeah. Whatever you just choose, I'm cool with it. Just pick something.
Wow, yeah, you know? Totally. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, it's definitely right. So what's one thing you suggest that restaurants can do, I mean, right now to make more in 2024? Besides hiring a certified restaurant coach.
Get a coach, yeah.
Get a coach, yeah, definitely.
To make more right now, I guess just start with some core values mm-hmm. and some self-evaluation, figure out what your mindset is, what your limiting beliefs are. Cause the thing is like everything streams from you. So if you don't have that straight, how do you get anything else straight? You know, it's really like,
in coaching, we call it BS.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times I was speaking on stage, and I'll say, you know, everyone knows what BS is, right? What's BS? And then everyone yells out, bullshit. I go, yeah, well, in coaching, we call it BS belief systems. Mm. But I'll say, here's the trick. Most of your belief systems are a bunch of bullshit. So
They are.
BS is BS.
Yeah. Those belief systems were set. One of my life coaches pointed, it was all about my childhood and how you basically have knee-jerk reactions to things in life. Anything that comes up that feels remotely like something that a trigger, you have a knee-jerk reaction to it, and that default, and it's not really what it is. So it's just being aware of that, you know, and then how that trickles down into your business. It trickles down to everything you do. But if you've decided to run a restaurant and to be a leader of other people, you need to be really aware of that.
Really need to explore your own limiting belief systems, because those are what we in psychologists call it heuristics. And heuristics are these like natural kind of patterns. It's wiring things and you talked about it. When something happens, it's a trigger. And then you automatically have this kind of your brain makes this kind of connection that this equals that.
Yeah.
If they do this, that means this could happen. Yeah, and then you get triggered. And when you get triggered, you go into reactionary. Most restaurant owners, I would say they play checkers. Their mindset is checkers. Like they're all reactionary. This happens, that happens. This happens, I do this. This happens, I do this. I said the biggest thing we do in the TRC method when we're coaching people is we try to get you from this reactive mindset to a proactive mindset where you're not playing checkers anymore. You're playing chess. You're thinking 5-6 moves ahead, 8 moves ahead, 10 moves ahead.
That's a great analogy. Yeah.
It's a huge game changer for people when they start doing that.
Yeah.
So besides like working out and the music and stuff like that, how do you deal with stress?
Well, how I deal with stress is my blind spot is to get bossy.
Yeah.
Since I'm aware of that. I take a deep breath. I'd literally just step away, take a deep breath. And I really think about what am I really afraid of here? Mm-hmm. What am I fearing? Because if I get stressed, it's something that I'm afraid of or that's bringing up fear. And then I analyze it. And then I go back to the situation and I make better choices. So a great example would be this morning with my 3 girls, only 2 were there though, but one of them has a British Royal Conservatory test this morning on the piano via Zoom. The other one just got back from her friends in Texas and he has a whole bunch of, my kids are homeschooled. So they're always in the house. So she has all this work to do for school because she's been gone and she's stressed out. I'm doing a podcast today for the first time. I'm stressed out and I'm like, hey, did you put wood? Because we use a wood burner to heat our house. Did you keep the wood, the fire going? You know, I scream down as I'm blow drying my hair and we're all just like in our panic mode. And then I come downstairs and I say something to her. She barks at me and then I bark at her. And I was like, I stepped away and took a deep breath and was like, what's really going on here? Is that Harrison's afraid she's not going to get her work done. Savannah's worked up because she's nervous about her test. And I'm worked up about the podcast. So then I was like, all right, guys, let's meet at the table. We sat at the table. We made a list and we just talked about things because it's like, it's that like those triggers and that you know, that fast pace that you get into, and you can make some really poor, say some really bad things and make some really poor choices if you don't step away, think about what's really going on, and then go back into it.
I have a trigger phrase in my head. I'll say when I feel I'm getting it, I'll tell myself pause and process. And that's my trigger phrase to myself, to pause and process. And a lot of times I'll do box breathing. Box breathing to me has been a game changer. I learned box breathing in my pararescue days in the military, and box breathing really calms down that parasympathetic nervous system, which lets me kind of just like, all right, just relax. And it kind of calms down those endorphins that are racing through. You start getting that adrenaline rush when you get all tense and anxiety. Oh,
I can get like worked up so easily if I don't watch that. And I think probably most restaurant owners are just like you and me.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, they are definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you were a kid, what was the first thing you wanted to be when you grew up?
This is really hilarious. I wanted to be a farmer, and it was a secret.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was a secret because if my mom with it, because my mom was born and raised on farms, and so was my dad, working farms. So I would spend a lot of time at my grandparents' farms in the summer, and I just wanted to be just like them. And I honestly imagined myself, I can still see the vision I had when I was a child of being in a garden and farming and like being outdoors. And I could not tell my mother that, you know, that to her, that was failing. And so then that switched to, I'm identical twin, by the way. So my identical twin sister is an artist, and she was always pushed that direction. And I was the smart one. I was the one who got A's in school, and I was going to be, I was going to be a doctor. So I decided I love eyes. So I'm going to be an eye doctor. And I literally went to Michigan State thinking I'm going to go be an eye doctor. And I failed miserably at it because I didn't want to be an eye doctor. I actually, I didn't really know what I wanted. I just, when you ask the question, I say to myself, well, that was the answer, but I never pursued it actively because I wasn't allowed to sort of do that, at least in my mindset. Yeah. But I guess feeding people is very much like farming. It's the next evolution of that, I think.
Yes, it actually is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny when I think about what I want to be when I was a kid. I don't know if you remember this. This tells you how old I am. Remember Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom?
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
Marlon Perkins. I wanted to be Marlon Perkins. I wanted to be a zoologist. Oh, I wanted to run a zoo. That was my. It's like, you think about it. That'll go from wanting to be a zoologist running a zoo to being a chef and then having restaurants. It's like, all right, that's a huge disconnect.
I really love that show.
Yeah, that was an awesome show. Mm-hmm. Poor Jim, though, man. Jim was like always in the thickest shit. Like, let's go to Jim, and Jim's like in the wild, getting wrestling goddamn alligators and shit, getting his ass kicked by animals, getting chased by animals. Yeah, it was horrible.
Hilarious, yeah. I wouldn't have remembered that show unless you brought that up. Wow.
That was it.
I remember being at like Tindalaya, that my mom's house at Tindalaya, and I remember watching that with her. Yeah.
Oh, I used to love that show, Mutual of Omaha's
Wild. Oh, man. So
Marlon
good.
Perkins, he had that real kind of, nasally kind of, hey, today we're going to be looking at some zebras.
Also, I'm sure you watched the Lawrence Welk show with your.
Lawrence Welk was like my grandmother watched Lawrence Welk every Sunday.
All the time. Yeah, all the time.
Every Sunday.
Yeah.
But here's a funny thing about my grandmother. Like, my grandmother loved two shows. She loved Lawrence Welk, and she loved wrestling. She used to love wrestling. Huh?
Like what kind of wrestling? What was on?
It was like WWE wrestling. There was some local wrestling thing that was on like on Sundays, and she loved wrestling. She loved. I mean, maybe it was on Saturdays. She loved wrestling. I could not believe my grandmother was like really out there. Lawrence Welk and wrestling.
Where did she live?
She lived in Illinois.
Oh, she did. Okay.
Yeah, where in Illinois? Belvidere, Illinois. Belvidere. About 60 miles northwest of Chicago.
Okay.
That's where I grew up. I was born in that little area Crystal up there.
Lake area? Like past?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Past Crystal Lake out there.
Okay.
Towards Rockford.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. It's like right next to Rockford, actually. Yeah. So.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So we're about to make a big announcement. We're about to launch a coaching program with a company that's been around for a while. The company is going to be called Restaurant Growth. They were formerly known as SkyTel Digital Marketing. And they approached us because, I mean, they're a marketing company. and they know marketing. These guys are like badasses when it comes to restaurant marketing. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of restaurants, they had, you know, their members coming to them saying, hey, I'm having problems with my food costs. Hey, I'm having problems with hiring. I'm having problems with this and that. Hey, I'm having problems with my profitability. And they're like, well, we know marketing, but we don't really know that other part. So mm-hmm. we decided, we had some great conversations. We decided to partner up with them. And we're going to help them launch a new coaching program. It's basically, we're going to be offering my Restaurant Accelerator program, which is my number one coaching program in the world. And it does follow that TRC method. It basically does take you through 90-something modules of people, then product, and then process. And each module has a different set of frameworks inside. They always say there's a frame within a frame. It's one of the things I think Andrew likes about the TRC method is it's a framework, but then there's a framework within the framework.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
It's like the people part, we have mindset stuff or strength workshops. We have culture workshops. We have hiring workshops. And then in the product part, we have a food cost workshop. We have a menu workshop. We have a marketing workshop, more about organic marketing. And then in the process part, we have like system, strategy, and profitability. So we have a system within a system within a system. It's really, really, it's really been, like I said, 14 years. This thing's been tested, battle tested, 2,800 restaurants. It works.
Yeah.
So how do you see this kind of partnership with restaurant growth? How do you see this is going to be how is it going to help us help more independent restaurants? What do you think this is going to do for the game overall?
Well, all those restaurants that are working with SkyTail right now, which is obviously the same thing as restaurant growth.
Yeah.
We'll have an opportunity to have a more holistic approach instead of just the marketing. So the marketing is 6 or 7 steps into the process. So in my opinion, SkyTail, now restaurant growth, they're going to have more success with their clients because they're going to actually see that there's some worth behind the entire system, you know, and again, we talked about this before. You can turn on the marketing machine, you can increase sales, but if your systems underneath that are not, your systems and your people and your culture and your hiring practice, all that stuff isn't fixed, it really just means more time on the floor, more work, and
definitely
not the profit that you're really looking for.
It goes back to that whole acronym or that whole thing everyone wants to know. You know, every consultant in the world tells everyone you got to work more on your business, less in your business, but they don't tell you how to do it. So I will tell you right now, and Angela can back me up, that TRC method is the process map to work more on your business, less in your business when you follow the map. Yeah,
it literally makes people think that they can just be lazy and step out and like not do anything. If you work smarter with this 3P process, you won't be working as much like in it in the same capacity, but you're still going to be working on your business and making it the best. I mean, that's the whole goal, right? I mean, why would you open a restaurant and a business if you don't want to make it incredible? Was it just to look like it's incredible, or do you really want to make it incredible? And that requires hard work and consistency.
Exactly. You know,
doing it over and over and over and over again until, you know, there's no until.
I see this partnership with Restaurant Growth as almost like a synergistic kind of venture. And I love the word synergy, because synergy is that each element by itself is great. Like SkyTail Digital, they are great at what they do as far as helping people grow their brand through paid advertising, running funnels, marketing campaigns, emails, blasts, all that stuff, setting up all those kind of complexities of like a really, really robust marketing program. They are the best at that in the world. They are the best at that. And I think the TRC method and what we do as the TRC, as the certified restaurant coaches in our program, is the best at what it does. And when we put those two together, it's just going to elevate everyone to a new level, because it's also going to help our clients too that are in the TRC method right now and in the Accelerator program, because now they're going to have an avenue to really take off on that paid game.
Yeah.
Because one of the things we teach in the TRC method is really mastering the organic game. And I'm a big believer, and I say this all the time, don't get into the paid game until you've mastered the organic game, or you'll waste a lot of money.
Yeah.
So now when they have our platform as like the, you know, as the foundation, and we build on top of that, they're going to see I'm probably estimating 10X, 20X growth for restaurants, be able to merge these two together. It's going to actually, I think it's going to help so many restaurants around the world. And, you know, and I'm so happy. I'm so honored to have like a certified restaurant coach like you and the team, you know, and we've got some other people on the team now too. We've got 4 certified restaurant coaches besides me. So we have 5 total coaches. So we're going to be able to help a lot more restaurants than what I could do by myself. And that was the whole plan for 2024 is how do I basically clone myself, and, you know, and get some stuff out there. So I'm excited about it.
I'm excited. The other part about that is they're helping the restaurants, but it also trickles down to the guests. And that means we all get to go out and have incredible service and
perfect.
You know, like just think about what that means as a guest when you get to go out somewhere and you can tell they really have a framework and, you know, culture and all that put together.
Yeah. I'm like you. I mean, I love the restaurant business with all my heart. I have been in it since I was 15. I love the restaurant heart and soul. And I just feel that, and I was very lucky that when I had my first restaurant, I struggled and someone reached out a hand and offered me to mentor me and coach me about business. And because I knew how to run a restaurant, I just didn't know how to build a profitable brand. And he gave me those missing components. And he actually gave me that first foundational framework, that 3P framework, that people, product, process framework that now I've taken and we've expanded it out for restaurants into that TRC method. And I'm telling you, the system works when you work the system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's super exciting.
What's one book, audio book, or a podcast you recommend?
Well, hard to do one. I read a ton of books, but if I had one that changed my life, well, I'll pick 2. Okay. Can I have 2?
Yeah, please.
Eckhart Tolle is someone I love. I love his philosophy. I love the idea of being in the now. The book was, I think it was called Live in the Now or...
Yeah.
And why that was so important to me. I actually named my daughter, my middle daughter that was pregnant. I was pregnant while I was reading the book, Presence, because being present is...
Oh, very cool.
I think the I don't want to call it the trick, but the answer to true happiness. And because if you live in the past and are constantly measuring things against the past or with regret, that's not a good place to be. Nope. And if you live in the future and you have anxiety, it'll freeze you like literally freeze you. So the only way to actually live is in the now and make great choices here and now. And that actually creates your future. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the future is.
No, it's true. So true.
Is the sum of choices. So I love that. And then also Mary Morrissey really changed my life. I did a coaching program with her and her book is called Brave Thinking. And that is really about wrapped around the word believe. I even have a tattoo that says believe on my wrist because I do believe if you believe it's possible, you know, it's like, it really starts with believing. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of work with her in understanding that you attract what you believe and live out what you believe, like actually live it out. And imagine it and see it and it will come true.
Yes. True. What's a quote you live by?
Believe and it will be.
Believe and it will be. There you go. Perfect.
Yeah.
And so if you want to contact Angela, you can reach out to her, angela@restaurant-coaching.com. We'll also be featured on the restaurant growth page. And then I'm actually redoing my restaurant coach page where I'll have a button on the new page is coming out actually in April. It's right around the corner, a whole new revamp of the restaurant coach website. And in that page, we'll also have a button on the top. It'll say find a certified restaurant coach. And then that'll be a link to our bio page where you can actually see Angela's info, her bio. And if you want to contact her, the thing we have about the diversity of the restaurant coaches we offer is that everyone has a little bit of a different niche, which is really, really cool. And here's the thing, one of the things I'm really excited about is that I have a certain style of coaching. I'm not a good fit for a lot of people, but maybe Angela is a good fit for you. So the thing about is like, don't look at restaurant coaching as like, oh, restaurant coaching itself isn't for me. Restaurant coaching, we have restaurant coaching programs for everybody. And now we have restaurant coaches for almost everybody too. Like if I'm not a good fit for you, talk to Angela. She might be a good fit for you. If she's not a good fit for you, we got Marcus. Marcus might be a good fit for you. That's not a good fit. you're a multi-unit restaurant. Well, you know, these guys are more smaller. They deal with one to six low. You know, I'm a bigger restaurant group, and we do $12 million. Then you want to talk to Adam. Adam is our certified restaurant coach who has that kind of stuff. Maybe you're from South America and you have a Hispanic concept. We have Ali. Ali is our coach who's bilingual, and he really, really focuses on that kind of market and stuff like that. So we have a restaurant coach for everybody. So that's what we're saying. Absolutely. And the process works. Doesn't matter. All you need is to find the right guide. Like I said, we have the map, which is the TRC method. You got to find the right compass for you. And that's the coach that you can trust, that you know has your back. And that's one of the things I will tell you about all the restaurant coaches I've certified. These are people that really deeply care about humans. And they really they care about the human connection. They also want to see you succeed. They're not in it just to see, I got this, they've all been through the trials and tribulations and had to find their own kind of problems. And like, Angela had a health scare and it kind of like, hey, what am I doing this for?
Yeah.
So we all have those things. Yeah. So please reach out to Angela@restaurant-coaching.com. If you want to learn more about the TRC method, I run a masterclass. It's available for people. It's a 2-hour masterclass. I will walk you through the TRC method. I'll show you exactly how the TRC method works, and you'll have an option. You can either talk to us, talk to me, you can talk to Ali. I can refer you to one of my coaches. But restaurantcoachmasterclass.com is the best way to jump into the TRC method masterclass. You've been on the method masterclass. It's a lot of information.
It is a lot of information, but there's so much there, but it's worth it.
It's worth it. Yeah. Absolutely worth it. So yeah, jump on the masterclass.
It's incredible how much stuff that's offered there.
And it's a great opportunity too. If you have like personal questions about your restaurant specifically, at the end of the masterclass, I usually have a Q&A session where you can ask me direct questions about your restaurant, and I can give you direct answers that relate to your restaurant, because every restaurant's a little unique. I know we all have all business problems or people problems, but some people problems are a little more specific or a little more unique to your restaurant. But please, reach out to us. You can reach me out at that restaurantcoachmasterclass.com. You can also grab a hold of me. You can always reach out to me, Donald@therestaurantcoach. Or you can also reach out to Angela, right? You can reach Angela@restaurant-coaching.com.
I really look forward to helping all of you who are needing help. I can't wait to, actually, I'm super excited to be able to use these tools. And
it's going to be great.
Friends. Yeah. I'm really, really excited.
Yeah. We're going to help a lot of restaurants. So,
yeah.
All right. Thanks, Angela, for being on the podcast today. Hey, your first podcast, you got it. One.
No, I did it.
Now you're a veteran. Now you're a podcast veteran.
Oh boy.
More to come in the future. We'll have more. I want to get like all my coaches together on one big, huge group.
Oh, that would be fun.
Zoom call. That'd be fun. And we all just kind of talk like we'll call it Restaurant Coach Corner. And we're going to have all the coaches on there. And I'll just throw out some questions I get from a lot of our members. And then you'll see that everyone has like a unique perspective of how they solve the problem, which is really cool, because that's what makes it dynamic. That's what makes the coaching programs dynamic.
It's a little different. Yeah.
So, all right. And if you're a member of the program, remember we have multiple calls each week. We have group calls. We have one-on-one calls. We have lots of different resources, lots of different tools to get you the results you want. So don't feel like you have to go it alone. If you're a restaurant owner right now, struggling, feeling like you're in a silo and there's no help and you don't know what to do and your head's against the wall, help us. Let us help you. That's all I can say is let us help you.
Exactly.
Thank you so much. All right, I appreciate
thank you so being much. Here.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Coach Podcast with Donald Burns. Tune in next time as we serve up more ways to maximize your potential. Visit our website at www.therestaurantcoach.com or download episodes at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify.